show today, we have sportsman Jesse Mayo turned property manager. Let's find out why. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along to another Monday. Can you believe it? That April is just around the corner. It feels like yesterday we blinked and it was Christmas. Oh my goodness. Well, we have a fabulous guest on the show today. And while still keeping in our property management real estate sort of theme, this conversation is going to be a little bit different to start with, because Jesse comes from a very professional sporting background. Welcome to the show, Jesse.
Hey, Stephen. Thank you very much for having me.
It's great to have you here. And we can call you a professional boxer. So tell us, before we sort of talk anything real estate, what first interested you in sport, and was it boxing from the start?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't boxing from the start. I had my dad was Superman to me, and he had like a background of both boxing and rugby league.
Okay.
He played rugby league at one of the highest levels that you could in Australia. And then at boxing, he excelled as well. So we always knew how to fight when we were kids. We knew how to defend ourselves, but never so much in the ring or anything like that.
A family not to mess with.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're Italians as well, mate, so we can hold grudges too. So with Dad, he obviously was my first coach, and he took me through the ranks of rugby league. I was lucky enough to experience some time in the professional scene, and then through a couple of things that happened alongside that, boxing eventually came up, and I managed to play with my first boxing coach that I had, which was Isaac Peach. I used to play league with him. He's actually Plumber Peach on on the old books. For if you need any plumbing done, you can get in touch with him. I was lucky enough to play with him, and the boxing career suddenly started taking off. We started in the amateurs, and I had a really good amateur background, and then he took me right through to the professional ranks, and I loved it. Loved every minute of it.
So talk us through that journey from sort of kicking that boxing career off. How old were you?
When I had my first fight, I was 23.
Okay.
So now I'm 33, so it's about 10 years.
Yeah, cool. And what were some of the sort of the highlights, first of all, along that journey?
So I had some pretty good highlights. With my amateur career, I got up to the Golden Gloves and I took part in one of the most prestigious tournaments that you have in boxing, which was awesome. And then I managed to fight overseas, which is obviously something really cool as well. But on the same side of that, I managed to fight at Spark Arena once upon a time and be in the spotlight a little bit, and feel like what that was like. The fight didn't really go according to how I'd like it to, but just to be on the world stage like that and have all eyes on you was really cool. That was definitely one of my highlights.
Was there certain achievements that sort of stand above the rest? Like, is there a trophy cabinet at home that you're going, that I will never forget?
Yes, obviously it comes with a lot of medals and things like that too. But that's one thing that sort of... that's one thing that I haven't actually achieved is a championship yet. But in saying that, it's kind of like one of those things that has a little bit of unfinished business. But, you know, at the same side of that, I'm enjoying what I'm doing now. And who knows, we might go back to that later. I'm never saying never, but... If it's not in the immediate future, it's not really a big deal.
Okay, we'll unpack that one a little bit later in the show. So tell us about some of the challenges you faced over this journey.
So I think, obviously, when I was playing league, I got I had the opportunity to go overseas and play in France for some what would have been career changing money and opportunity and lifestyle and everything like that. I had a few problems with mental health at the time, and I always took rugby league as purpose, and it was an outlet for me to help deal with my mental health. Through that, I obviously, rugby league is not a soft game at all. I say it to this day that I've had more injuries playing rugby league than I had boxing. I've had more concussions playing league than I'm doing boxing too.
Interesting.
So when you get injured and whatnot, I was averaging surgery once a year.
Wow.
Which was hard, and it was really harsh on the body. And then through surgery, they obviously start giving you painkillers to adapt to the pain that you're getting from post operation. And I kind of got hooked on the painkillers a little bit. They were playing tricks in my head. I was starting to see things that weren't there, but also keeping my mind quite numb. So when the opportunity came up, I made a couple of bad decisions in my life that obviously reflect where I am today.
I appreciate how honest you're being, and I wish if we were television, you'd see Jesse's reaction to understand how honest he's been. I mean, we kind of see the American movies and things of a life of a boxer. I've got visions of you in your red robe and all the girls screaming and toweling you down as you head off. Not quite like that here in New Zealand.
No,
bit of hard work.
Definitely not. It's obviously post that I got into the boxing. And I found purpose again in my life, and that was really cool because it was the perfect outlet. But unfortunately, it's like what you said, like it's not all, you know, we can't all be Conor McGregor or Floyd Mayweather and have like millions of dollars and whatnot. In fact, in New Zealand, it's very, very different. I was working another job where I'd have to pay my way to fight all over even just the country. I was working a full-time job, training full-time, and I really had no other time for anything else. And the jobs that you're sort of doing, they're not your typical jobs. Like I was working retail Monday to Friday, and then on the weekends I was doing security gigs at nightclubs just to pursue this dream. So yeah, it's not all sunshines and rainbows. No.
Is that a New Zealand thing because we're a small country in this competitive world, or is that internationally boxers would find that struggle?
Well, I think being such a small country like New Zealand is, I think we don't have as much sponsorship over here as what some of these other countries do. And that goes into the Olympics itself. Like, we had no boxers represent New Zealand at the last Olympic Games. Prior to that, we obviously had David Naika, who represented us at the Olympics before. But we've been very, very slow with how many boxers are actually going over to the Olympics. And basically what these boxers do when they go to the Olympics is they build a platform that they then go into the professional scene. And by the time they're on that professional scene, there's so many people that want to back these boys. And they go, cool, I want to sponsor this guy. Please train full time. And then you're going to have an awesome career. And a lot of these people that are training full time, they're generally your better boxers out there. Not your weekend warriors like myself that, you know, have to work a couple of jobs and then we train on the side. Like, we're not getting in recovery sessions. We're not getting in, you know, two or three sessions a day like some of these other boys are. So it does disadvantage us. But at the same time, you know, like, When one of us wins, we all win.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to take you back to the dark place, but I kind of feel we left that hanging. You talked about, you know, the addiction to drugs and painkillers post-surgery, and I have sympathy with that because I had a journey myself with that, with some major back surgery. How did you then come out that other side? What triggered the stop, I guess? How did you get off that road?
I actually... Yeah, that's a hard one to answer, but I accidentally overdosed one day. I was found by my mum, and this was just prior to her wedding anniversary. I ended up in the hospital, and, you know, she was, they were in the process of going overseas for their 25th wedding anniversary, and they booked Europe and all the places that they wanted to go, like Italy. We've got a very Italian background, but none of us have actually been there. So that was on mum's to-do list, and she went over there and did that, and I just promised her that when she got back I was going to be 100%, and I ended up checking myself into rehab and making some changes.
Good on you.
And unfortunately, with some of the decisions I made, they came with a ban from professional sport at the time, and it meant that I had to kind of change my ways and change my thinking, and, you know, unfortunately, it meant that the rugby league career was pretty much over because I was a bit seasoned then. Like, they don't really sign guys that are 25, 26. So then my focus turned to boxing, which was really cool. So I had some really good opportunities with that. And that just filled that purpose that I was looking for at the time.
Mm. And how's your health now?
My health is good. I actually did suffer an injury last year, so I haven't actually fought in a while or anything like that. But yeah, health-wise, I think I'm the best mentally that I've been in a while. I've had a couple of curveballs thrown at me, but I've made some good decisions, and I approached my boss at work a couple of months ago saying that I wasn't quite right in the upstairs, and he put me onto some free counselling that our company does provide, and that helped like a lot, you know, going through the steps, going through the motions, finding different ways to deal with stress and anger or anything like that. It was really good, and it's helped my workplace really good. So I have to say that, yeah, at the moment, I'm probably one of the healthiest I've been in a while.
Good, good. Pleased to hear it. Thinking about other professional athletes in New Zealand, you mentioned, you know, having to juggle retail during the day and security at night. Is that the scene for many of our professional athletes in New Zealand?
I think...
Not just boxing?
I think, like what I was saying, like, with professionals, I think if you're not fighting every week or you're not performing every week, you're not getting paid. So, I mean, I think a lot of athletes do struggle with that, and unfortunately, it comes right back to the start when you're in school. You know, we're in school learning, you know, how to get into uni and how to do X, Y, and Z. But the problem is they don't actually teach you things like, you know, if you do choose a career in sport, that there's life after sport. And that's one thing that I know a lot of the programs that we have over in Australia, for example, like with league or with boxing, there's a lot of programs that start these kids really young, and they come over as kids, and then they teach them, hey guys, like, we're going to sign you on development deals, but part of your development deal is that you have to either do a trade or you go to school.
Great.
And you learn these things that, hey, look, after the career as a professional, you are going to be, you know, you're going to be expected to hold a 9-to-5 or a career in something else.
Brilliant. I hear the Blues, they're pretty good at it. They run like career camps where they actually get experts in from different industries to go, okay, in a year or two, you need to be finding your next path. I think it's so important. What do you think is out there for professional sports people to find out what those career choices are? Is there any avenue that they can turn to? Or is it kind of just up to you?
It's kind of like, it's a very tricky one. Like, you're either, like I said, you're either studied or you haven't. In order to go into a career progression, like, I think, you know, like, I look at a professional athlete like, say for example, Ali Williams. Like, he went into real estate, and then he's got his own architecture company now that he goes and he does a lot of business sort of side of things. I think athletes in general need to be doing, you know, in their spare time, need to be studying or doing something like that. And it's just sort of having like that career progression out there and being able to know that you have like people and contacts that you've made along that journey that potentially could help you later on. I think those are very important. Like, networking in general is one of the most important things you can do in everyday life nowadays, you know. It's not necessarily what you know, it's kind of who you know these days.
You mentioned your dad was a big influence in getting you into the sport. Over the years, as you've learned more and more in the boxing space in particular, who else inspired you?
That's a really good question. I've had a few different like inspirations along my journey. Like, I think the first time I met Isaac Peach playing rugby league, I went to Isaac's last fight before he actually played league, so I knew about him. He was one of my inspirations coming through. In terms of being like famous, I was always a big Mike Tyson fan growing up. And we got to relive that. I don't know if you saw the Jake Paul fight, but we got to see him fight again when we were a little bit older too, which was also pretty cool. But I actually really liked, yeah, and I liked Conor McGregor. I loved Conor McGregor in terms of his, where he came from. Like, he was a guy that was on the benefit in Ireland, and he almost missed his flight to the UFC because he had to go and collect his last final doll check before he left the country. And then to see what he's, the kind of movement that he created with the UFC and the noise that he made, and then saying, hey, look, we can stop fighting the UFC and we're going to go to boxing. And they put on this big promotion with Floyd Mayweather. It's one of the best promotions I've ever seen. Like, it was second to none. And so someone like him to create the movement that he did, like that inspires me too.
Brilliant. What was the defining moment that you went, okay, it's time to start looking at another career? You might have not have ended your boxing, but you were starting to go, ooh, now I need to. Was that injury-based, body-based, mental health space, age?
I think
all of the above.
It's definitely kind of all the above. Like I said, like I was averaging about a surgery every year. I broke my arm about 3 years ago, and I kept re-breaking it, and it was kind of like one of those things where it just wasn't getting better.
Yep.
But I also, along, you know, this journey that we call life, I met the absolute love of my life as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, like being with her, she wants me to be the best version of myself, and
preferably alive and healthy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we joke about it all the time, mm-hmm. but yeah, I don't want to be in a wheelchair when I'm older or anything like that. So that kind of came into it as well. Mm-hmm. I just want to be the best version of myself when I'm around her as well.
Oh, nice, nice. Well, then, segue, real estate and property management, where on earth did that come from? And were you looking at multiple careers before you decided on this one? How did that journey suddenly begin?
That's a good question as well. I was looking at a couple of different options. Like, obviously, I had a bit of a retail background, and with that retail background, there was a lot of management that came with that. And we were sort of looking at something in management, but also potentially like going off and managing like different portfolios, whether they be like account management or whatnot as well. But at the end of the day, like what I was saying before, it came down to connections and mm-hmm. networking. And I started looking back when things weren't sort of working out. I started looking back and I found a couple of old friends of mine, old teacher of mine as well. And I started talking to them about, you know, like I looked back and saw who was successful and who I thought were doing really well. And I think that's a big thing about mm-hmm. social media, is you can kind of see who's leading the pack. So I reached out to a guy, a good friend of mine, Ben Fraser, and we could see that he was doing really well. And he seemed like he was juggling like a really mm-hmm. successful career, but also like he runs marathons every like second weekend now.
Yeah.
So I reached out to him and I sort of said, you know, like, hey, like I'm at the end of my like sporting career almost, and I wanted to see like what's life after sport going to look like for me. And he had a good, we had like a good, I think it was like 2 or 3 hour chat around like, hey man, like, have you thought of this? Have you mm-hmm. thought of this? It was kind of like finding something that I was passionate about and then excelling at it.
Mm.
And I think with me, like, I love people. I've a whole lot of people have helped me in the past. And it was only fair to try and, I find it only fair to try and return that favor as much as I can. And with something like property management, you've got people who are very vulnerable that come to you and they look for essentially their next safe space. And you're putting these people into their safe spaces, and you're, there's just the satisfaction that you get out of seeing a happy tenant.
Mm.
That was awesome. Like the idea of that. Mm. So I reached out to one of my old drama teachers, and he helped me with the first step into the life after sport, which was joining an academy, a property management academy. And there, he said it could take up to 6 months. You'll learn the trade. You'll get a free certificate. You'll get a certificate. And the best part was they were going to pay us to do it.
Mm.
And I thought, well, like, me as a kid, I had chronic ADHD when I was a kid. So school wasn't really for me, and it kind of scared me, the idea that I could be back in the classroom.
Right.
And I was kind of like, and then I talked to him, and he kind of said, no, it's not really a classroom environment. It's more like a whole bunch of people that are there to help each other out and achieve the same common goal. And I really liked that idea, because I wasn't a guy that liked going to, the idea of going to uni and trying to study mm. something this late in life, that's scary. Like, I mean, firstly, I can't sit still as it is. I don't know if you can see me, but I've got my hands up every 10 seconds. But that kind of thing there scared me, and I was kind of like, well, if I can get like a certificate in doing something like this and get paid like as if I was doing a full-time job, I thought, what have I got
win-win
to lose?
Yeah, a bit of a win-win. So tell us about this training academy. What is it that you're learning over the 4 to 6 months?
Yeah, so we're learning to deal with tenants primarily. We're the middle ground to the tenants, between the tenants and the owner. So we obviously have Amanda, who's fantastic, and she oversees everything. But she's like the prime person that communicates with the owners, and then we kind of more communicate with the tenants. But lately, like when you get as far as advanced, like when you hit the like 3-4 month mark, you do start communicating with the owners a little bit more, so she kind of lets that happen. So it's like gradual, like a gradual process.
Like a gentle sort of nurturing approach to it.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And we get new people that come into the academy, and they team up with the older, the people that have been there more, like for more time, so longer. And then, you know, we teach them what we're doing, and they learn off us. And then they're basically maturing to the point where when they get to our stage, they're taking in the new ones. So it's like a nice circle of life, if you call. But,
and I'm guessing while you're there, you're learning all the sort of the legislation, the best practice, all those key things, I'm guessing software and technology as well.
Yeah, so we have a couple of different kinds of software that we do use. We have specialist trainers that come in and they quiz us. Like predominantly we have a training day on a Wednesday, and on a Wednesday we'll talk legislation, but we'll also talk this other software that we use, which is it's a system known as Console. So we have a Console trainer that comes out and says, hey look, if you want to do a lease renewal, you do this. If you want to do, you know, a rent increase, you do it like this. And they basically take us through step by step. So we've got someone pretty much holding our hand, like pretty much the whole step of the way until we're ready to go into the big bad world.
Why do you think, and do you think, this sort of way of learning is better than if you had left sport and gone straight to, say, a branch and become a property manager, plonked, here's your 100 properties, and go?
I think... Yeah, it would be very overwhelming, I'd say. You either sink or swim, but I think in this case here, you're going to be swimming well before you even think about sinking.
I guess it's like sport. You didn't just walk straight into a boxing ring and hope that you're going to make it and survive. You know, there's the training, there's the theory, there's all the best practice in sport. This would be the same in property management.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's 100% right.
What do you love about property management so far?
Like I said, I love the fact that we see people at their most vulnerable state. And we get all sorts of people that come through, whether they want to rent houses, whether they want us to rent their houses. And then we deal with the owners as well. We deal with maintenance people. We get to learn who our cool creditors are. And we give them, you know, X amount of business. So we build relationships all the time. And I guess, like, it's like what I was saying about networking. We're networking, like, honestly, 100% of the time. The other cool thing about it is, like, no 2 days are the same, you know? We might be going to South Auckland one day, and then the next day we're going to the North Shore. We get a chance to travel in a car. Sometimes it's just straight A to B. Sometimes it's a long distance, and we can, you know, catch up on things like, you know, like a podcast, for example, or whatnot in the journey on the way there. But, yeah, I think dealing with people and building relationships is pretty much sums up the job and what we do. And I love doing that. I love being able to talk to someone, finding out what their story is, you know, seeing how they got to the place that they are in life as well.
What skills have you brought across from the boxing arena and training into property management? And I'm, you know, guessing it's not the physical so much. So that might be a quick-lived job.
We definitely don't stand over anyone.
But what is it that you've brought, skills have you brought across?
I think resilience is definitely a big thing. Like I said, we see people in the most vulnerable state. And what that can mean is that we see people that can't afford to pay their rent. But it also brings in the problem-solving skill as well. Like, you know, it's like when you're in a big fight, you're trying to solve the problem of the guy that's in front of you. You know, in this case here, we've got someone who can't afford their rent, and now we've got that problem to solve. How do we do this? How do we go about it in a way that we can find a resolution for both parties? So problem solving is a big one, and I learned that, yeah, obviously in sport, but also like a couple of my other jobs that I've had too, and bringing that across. Things like, you know, for example, when I said I was working in town at security, like that was a really good segue into problem solving and a problem solving.
Diffusing a situation.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people have like ideas of security guards that they all can fight, but not necessarily. Like, we try not to. Like, you know, we want to find a solution to everyone that has some sort of issue. Like, if you've been drinking too much, Stephen, before you come into the nightclub, we will the first thing we'll say to you is go get some water, you know.
Yeah.
We are trying to, you know, resolve that problem. And like I said, it's the same thing when we have tenants, or even when we have owners that have properties with us that have been vacant for so long. So we're trying to find resolutions to these problems, whether it be, hey, look, why don't we book 4 viewings this week instead of just the 3 or the 2? You know, hey, we'll try this on the weekend to try and make sure that you understand that we are trying our best. Have you thought about boosting your ad on Trade Me? Have you thought about boosting your ad on your social? X, Y, and Z, you know, like we are always trying to do the best that we can and find the solution to the problem.
Now, you are known as the maniac, is that right?
Yeah, some people might say that.
Yeah. I mean, you just said parents, you know, Italian boxing fighting maniac. Next, you're going to tell me you lived out west.
I did live out west, yeah, I did. I grew up out west.
But the reason why I know the maniac is I've seen your car. And did Barfoot and Thompson not want to, like, put property management across the maniac? That could have been quite a cool advert.
I'm not too sure, eh? I need to talk to the sponsorship team.
Hit them up. So what next? You've been 4 to 6 months already. What's next on the horizon? Is the Training Academy journey coming to an end?
Yes, so I believe it is. I have just been offered a role over in Titirangi branch. It's a maternity cover, but it's like a chance to start my next journey in the property management scene. Working with my friends out west, a lot of them do know who the maniac is, so it should be pretty good. But yeah, we get a fresh start now. To go out to a branch and showcase like what I've been learning in the I wouldn't say the classroom, but I've been learning in the academy.
And again, I guess bringing it back to sport, it's like you've done all the training and now the fight is about to begin, the real stuff, you know, and that's putting it into practice, all that learning.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, well, I just can't wait to get my first inspection done at my new branch, and then hopefully fill my first property as soon as I can.
That's cool. Now, does sport still play a part in your world? You mentioned your lovely partner and looking after your health, but you've spent your life in sport. Does it still play a part some way?
Absolutely. I think, you know, what I was saying before about how, like, I was going off to see, like, a therapist during the week at work through my boss. He put me onto the right thing, which was really cool. I think deep down I knew that sport, you know, doing something physical, some sort of physical exercise was kind of like an outlet that you need. Like, you know, you have not all days you come home and you're all chipper. Some days you come home, you're a little bit stressed out. You've had a little bit on today. So in terms of sport, like I've started training again.
Okay.
I haven't officially retired, and I don't like that word.
So is there one more fight in you?
There potentially could be. I'm just training at the moment, and I'm enjoying, you know, like, coming to work with all my teeth and no black eyes. So,
which I guess then becomes one of the risks too, isn't it? Because you don't want a property manager with no teeth and black eyes sort of rocking up on the Monday morning after a hard weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it could scream out the wrong sort of thing. But in terms of sport, I think, I haven't announced any retirement or anything like that. There are a couple of things that have come up as of late, but I made a promise to myself that I wasn't gonna do anything until I get settled at my branch, and the first part of that has come up. So we might look at it in maybe another 6 months' time. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. You're going to a very special place because I started my property management career in that branch in Titirangi.
Yes.
That's where it all began for me, that started my journey. So, you know, there's big boots to fill, or some mistakes you may find from the past, and I'll apologise. I wasn't in a training academy. care to be then.
Is there any secrets you wish to share? Or?
Definitely not, but I have some fun times out in the West. Mm. You know, I love the West.
Yeah.
People, scenery, everything. Would sports coaching be something that you could look at in your horizon in your spare time to take what you learnt as an athlete, either coaching from someone new coming into the boxing industry or coaching those professional athletes or semi-professional athletes looking at that next career journey?
I have thought about it. I do definitely want to think about it a little bit more once I've actually fully hung up the gloves.
Okay.
I can't say that I've fully done that yet, but once that's all done, that would be something that I'd take care of, because I'm the kind of person that feels like I wouldn't be able to take care of someone unless I've taken care of myself first. So, like I said, if I get my training out of the way and I get everything done and I've actually fully like walked away from it, I know that I'm going to be able to put someone else first. Mm. And I think that's like a big step in terms of being a coach. I think you have to be fully committed and you have to be fully, you have to be fully committed to that person and also that sport as well. I think it's kind of a little bit like management, you know, like, you know, you make sure yourself, you're the guy that everyone looks up to. So you've got to make sure that you're 100% first before you can start taking care of everyone else and nurturing that.
Really good answer, Jesse, really good. So what are some of the challenges in property management that you face versus some of the ones we talked about earlier in sport? What's some of your biggest challenges?
I think the biggest
you're allowed to say on radio.
I think the biggest challenges with, you know, we do viewings where we meet people all the time and we meet potential tenants that are coming into the property. The biggest challenge we have is when we like a few of the tenants and all of them apply for it all at once and they all have the same credibility and everything like that. And then we have to make some very hard decisions as to who we want to put in that property. And sometimes it comes down to, I think that person might like, you know, need like another room in a couple of years or, you know, and it's quite hard because you have to deliver this heartbreaking news to some people sometimes. I think that's quite hard. And then also, like, you know, as you may know, like the economy is a little bit down in the dumps at the moment, so we have people that don't really want to spend a lot of money, and you know, sometimes tenants go, you know, I've paid X, Y, and Z for so long and my owner doesn't even want to clear the gutters out of my roof so that they don't leak, you know. So that's another big hurdle that we have to jump past, but it comes down to that problem solving thing. How do we deliver it to the owners? How do we communicate that with the tenants? Is there any alternatives that we can use? Everything like that.
And you mentioned Amanda before as sort of your leader in this training space. How does she guide you through those problems? Is it sort of giving solutions or letting you try and come up with them yourself? How does she work?
I think she gives us a little bit of everything, really. So Amanda, we're actually quite lucky. Amanda's spent pretty much her whole career in the real estate business. So we have like a really good guide. She gives us really good guidelines, and she could be one of the best role models that I've ever seen coming through. Like in terms of challenges, she presents us with a lot of challenges and gives us different scenarios of how we can resolve those challenges that come through. I think she's really hands-on herself, so she leads from the front. She goes out and does inspections herself on some of her more known clients that she's had for many years. So like to see someone who's a leader like that, that's actually really good. Like, I don't know about you, but my mum always told me, don't try and make someone clean the toilets if you're not willing to do it yourself. So seeing someone like Amanda who goes out and does like inspections herself, does viewings, and she'll do them on the weekends, she'll do them during the week, everything like that, it's actually a really good segue.
Lead by example.
Exactly.
Yeah, nice. If I interviewed you in 5 years' time, where will you be? What's your sort of short to medium goals?
My short to medium goal, I want to be a head of property somewhere.
Okay.
Ideally, like, I would love to run the Property Management Academy, but...
you're retiring Amanda.
No, we're not. But, I mean, if that opportunity came up, that would definitely be something I'd jump into.
That's lovely, because that shows your coaching side in you as well, that you're keen to come back and do that 360.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, being in the academy myself, like, I know the challenges that it can present. But, yeah, I'm a natural born leader, and I would I would love to the opportunity to do that possibly one day.
Brilliant. And from a sporting perspective, what advice would you give to a young sports person listening, just sort of starting that career out?
I think life these days, like I said, is all about networking. Be nice to everyone, be kind, talk to people. You never know what their journeys of life are. You never know, like, if that next person you talk to is going to present you with an opportunity that you're going to need later on. I'm not saying you need to befriend everyone that's coming near you, but definitely be nice, be open, be honest. In terms of being a sporting superstar, just remember that there's always going to be a time where you can't do this, and sometimes it can happen in the form of an injury that you just least expect. You know, I knew a couple of league players overseas, and the same thing. They did their knees, and they did their one of my good mates actually did his ankle, and he never came back, and he was going to be the bread earner for his family. So you never know when your time's going to be up, whether it be, you know, you retire on your terms or an injury, or sometimes people they lose the love of the game, or they lose the love of the sport as well. So you just never know when that is going to happen to you. So have a backup plan. And like I said, like, it's good to see, like, you know, people like the Blues and other teams are coming in with different segues into life after sport.
What do you think makes a good property manager? If someone's thinking about this as a career after sport, what makes a good property manager?
Someone who can have conversations with people, definitely. If you can relate to people, if you have a bit of a history yourself and you can kind of see that there's other people out there that have a bit of history,
like,
it makes it a lot easier to get along with people. I think being resilient as well. Like, you're going to be faced with some tough challenges that are ahead in the job. So if you can show that you're quite resilient and a good problem solver as well, I'd say. You just got to be good at problem solving. If you could do a Rubik's Cube, mate, you could do property management, I reckon.
All right, tough question. Getting near the end of the show now. Mm. If you could go back in time, sit your 16-year-old Jesse down in West Auckland somewhere, in a park, what would you say to him, knowing what you know now?
That's a tough one, actually. I'd probably just tell him just embrace every day. You never know when tomorrow's going to be your last. I would say to him, have some serious thought about this rugby league career. I guess it's one of those things where, you know, I was playing league for free every weekend, and, you know, you're playing injured some weekends, and it was kind of, I think it's kind of more like, don't do anything injured. If you get knocked out, have a couple of weeks off.
I think you missed a real important one. Yeah. I'd be sitting your 16-year-old Jesse down saying, get medical insurance.
Oh,
pay it up now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're going to need it.
Absolutely. I think that was probably one of the best decisions I actually did make, but I do have medical insurance, which is good. I would just say, hey, look, you know, people are going to say that you're dumb, people are going to say you're stupid, but, you know, you just learn things a lot differently than others do.
And you've come out all right in the end. Any advice? You mentioned right back at the beginning, you know, that struggling at school. If someone's right back in that space, struggling to find their place in the world, what would you say?
I'd think persevere. You know, there's different ways of learning. People learn on the job, they learn on the go. Sometimes people need to learn the hard way. I think, you know, with the kids in school, when they're struggling to learn, like, there's different ways of learning these days, and it's quite cool because technology is always improving, everything's always improving, but basically sit down and be nice to the guy. He might seem like he might be the class clown, or he might be this, he might be that, but at the end of the day, everyone's a human being and everyone deserves to be treated the same way.
And we will leave it there. Jesse Mayo, thank you so much for your thoughts, your honesty, and, yeah, you sort of your deep take on your last sort of journey from sports into real estate. And all the best for Titirangi Branch. Hope it goes well and wherever the road next takes you.
Thank you, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
If you want to get in touch with Jesse or find out more about Barfoot & Thompson's Training Academy, email propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. Thanks for tuning in. You can listen to all our past episodes up on Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, or YouTube, or pretty much anywhere you like to download your podcasts. Have a fabulous week. We'll catch you next Monday. Good luck in the traffic out there. Talk to you soon.